Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
How's it going?
Doing great. It's summer.
Yeah, it is summertime.
But for you, like, the whole year is now summertime, right?
I'm getting very confused by the days, the seasons. Yeah, what there's not a lot of things that, like, remind me what point in time we're at.
Other than it being, like, 95 degrees outside.
Yes, very true. So today's topic was initially inspired by your little experiment a while ago to not use shampoo.
Yeah.
And Greg was doing like a similar experiment. You guys had never even discussed this, but he also he was using like bar shampoo for a while. He was doing something. You just went no shampoo, though.
Yeah. No shampoo, no conditioner, no nothing.
Yeah.
And so I watched a video by a guy named Johnny Harris on YouTube. And if anybody does not know who he does fantastic stuff. And he does a lot of like journalistic things, which are really quite enlightening. But he also does kind of like some quirky little things. And a lot of his content talks about the economic pressures which drive certain things in the world. And so one of his funny ones was he was talking about how he hasn't used shampoo in 5 years. And the premise is that shampoo, like your hair and scalp naturally produces oils, which over millions of years have been developed to keep your head and hair fine. Shampoo removes the oils, like soap removes oil from your hands. So your hair and scalp are dry, and then you are required to then use conditioner and other products to re-moisturize it, but in an artificial way. And then over time, you get into the cycle where you have to use these products. And if you just stop, your hair is fine. It's all sort of a scam from marketers.
Well, it's like a cycle. You get used to, your body adjusts to this product, and now it needs more of that product.
Yeah. So I immediately told my wife, I was like, I'm going to stop using shampoo. And she's like,
what was her
whatever
response?
She just gave me a weird look. She was like, she knew she couldn't stop me. Like there was no reason why she would need to talk me out of it. So she's just like, do whatever you want. And so now it's been a year and it's been great. Can you tell? Like, look at me. We're on video. Can you tell that
look,
I haven't used shampoo?
I'll be totally honest. I can tell, but had you not said anything, I wouldn't have. Like, I have been close to you where I can see that your hair looks different, but it doesn't look bad. It just, I can tell. But like, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have been able to tell enough to be like, something's different about your hair, Mike. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know? And I don't like run my hands through your hair. So I'm like curious if Britta can tell and like what she thinks about it. But it's a little more sort of, it's a little more slick looking, you know, but not in like a bad way. And I'm not sure I ever really paid attention to it before. Quite
right.
Honestly.
Yeah. Along the lines of one of our themes of this show, nobody cares.
Nobody cares. Right. Nobody cares if you shampoo your hair or not. That's the theme of this, right?
So when we were talking about this episode, we decided to do something about this. And Maggie, you were like, well, you know, can you write up the show notes? And I'm like, well, I never got past shampoo. So I'm going to need some help with what else we're going to talk about.
And we'll get into more of this, but I'm a pretty like minimalist when it comes to all toiletries and personal care products. Like I don't wear makeup. I mean, we can get into some other things, but so I've never gone as far as not using shampoo. And I think when you did it, it was during COVID. It was for sure. It was during COVID.
Yeah. Well, we're still in COVID.
Everything is during COVID. But when you did it, I think I was in my phase where I was just not showering a lot. Like I was never leaving my house and I would shower every few days. And my hair is very thin and it gets very greasy very quickly. And so I was like, I think I went like a little bit extra long just to see what would happen. And it's like, it's not good in my hair. Now, I will say I've heard from people that if you let it go longer, particularly with like long, girl hair, I don't know what to call it. It adjusts, doesn't keep getting greasier. Like it eventually, like something happens in the, you know, ecosystem of your head. Yeah, but I never made it that far. So I'm impressed. How long has it been now? Like,
it's been a year. It's been over a year.
Like a whole year. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know.
That's crazy. Okay. So the point is here, the bigger point here is not just about Mike not washing his hair, which is a fun side story. We'll have to post some now, like close-ups of your hair.
Let me caveat. Like I still take showers and I like clean my hair with water. I just don't put stuff in it.
That is a great point that you still shower, but also a great point of that. Yes, you still like rinse your head and like scrub your head and stuff. You're just not adding soap to it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. Greg's gone through some phases where he like made his own mixture of something that he kind of like every now and then. Have you done that at all? Nothing. Like totally.
No soap, no shampoo, no conditioner, no hairspray, no nothing.
Yeah. Well, do you ever just sort of like try to rub your head up against Brita's to like get a little bit of free shampoo, you know?
No. No need.
If you could see me on video, I'm like rubbing my head like I'm a cat against somebody. Okay. So people spend hundreds of dollars, some thousands of dollars every year on toiletries and personal care items. And what I think is interesting about this spend category in particular is it's very hard to track because for most people, these items get kind of hidden in other trips to Target, to the grocery store, to a Walgreens. It's not like you get all your toiletries from one place, right? Amazon purchase here and there. And so it can add up. And honestly, I have no idea how much I spend on toiletries specifically, toiletries and like vitamins and kind of personal care items. I just don't know. And that's because it's too hard to pull out of my receipts. And one of the things that I thought would be fun as I get more into retirement and have more time is to actually like itemize that stuff and know like, what do I actually spend on this stuff?
That does sound like fun.
Yeah. That's my idea of retirement fun, is tracking a, you know, $100 spend item or spend category. So when we talk about toiletries, personal care, we're talking about personal maintenance items like shampoo, deodorant, makeup, nail care. If you buy any like bath or spa products, this could include medicine and vitamins. This could also include kind of staples items like toilet paper, hand soap, dishwasher soap. And I also kind of put in this category like cleaning supplies for your home. You know, they're related tangentially.
Not for your body.
Yeah, not for your body, but they're personal care, right? Like you got to keep your home clean for a reason. And so
I would say that the buying habits are exactly the same. The marketing to you and the buying habits are the same as personal care items.
Yeah. And some of the savings opportunities are also similar, right? So the kind of mindset you can apply to how you save money in this category.
Yeah.
I think very applicable. So let's get into some different ideas and tips for how we think you can and should save money on these toiletries and these personal care items. So the first tip is to become a personal care minimalist. So we talk about minimalism all the time. But in this category specifically, there's so much marketing. There's just a lot. People like the whole shampoo example we were given with Mike, the world is constructed to convince you that you need a lot of things. And so really consider what you actually need, right? So, you know, again, the shampoo example, Mike has cut shampoo out of his life for a year, right? And he's fine and he's no less
I'm better happier. For it.
Yeah, he may be better for it. You don't need much, you know, nail care, just as an example, right? Other than like fingernail clippers, right? Yet they sell a ton. If you walk down the nail aisle, yes, sometimes there's like actually something wrong and you need to buy something, but they just sell like a ton of like nail care serums and products. And just, I mean, literally there's like a whole aisle for it at Walgreens, I think.
And the way to determine if you really need something is just to stop using it. So I have no idea what nail serum is. I'm sure that it is useless, but you could test it out. Like, try not using it for a month. Do you feel any different? Do you see any difference in your nails? Probably not. And so it's okay to start going through all the things that you use and just cutting them out for a little while. I would think about a lot of different soaps and lotions and creams and that sort of stuff. It will also help you very quickly identify what really does work.
It's almost like an elimination food diet. You know, just keep pulling it out and see if your world drastically changes. Yeah. I mean, I think if most people open their like medicine cabinet or their, you know, bathroom cabinet, wherever they store this stuff, and mine admittedly looks like this from, you know, years of past decisions, but there's just, you know, tons of different products that you don't necessarily need or use on a daily basis.
The next piece of advice here is not for a particular product, but if something, anything is being marketed to you, and the message is that it makes you more desirable or attractive or worthy of attention, you should definitely ignore it. And I think back to like when I was a teenager and in college, like Axe body spray was all over the place. And the idea was like, if you get this, women will find you attractive, which is ridiculous, you know, in retrospect. But like I bought it, all my friends bought it. If that is the message, you need to stay away from it because it is not going to do what they're telling you it's going to do.
Craig and I always make fun of these commercials for different products where they're like, so-and-so with hyaluronic acid. I don't even know what that does, honestly, and I'm not knocking it. It might do something good. It's actually in some brands that I trust, but we just make fun of it because there's just like people can market products for just the craziest things. And you're convinced as you're, particularly like if you're a woman and as you're aging, you get even more sensitive to thinking you need certain things to look a certain way, and we'll kind of get into like some of the best products or the most simplest and affordable actually. So, you know, on that note, really that the point here around just, you know, being a personal care minimalist and focusing and recognizing when you're being marketed to is just focus on being more intentional and values based in your purchase decisions, right? Focus on quality over quantity. And quality does not always mean the most expensive product. It usually doesn't mean the most expensive product. Some of the most expensive products have a massive amount of marketing put into them, and there's just ridiculous margins, and the product is not any better than some pretty basic brands and companies, which we'll talk more about. Also, really think about when quality matters versus when it doesn't. And I'll give a silly example, but like, I use Q-tips to get my like nail polish off, you know, like nail off my toes. I don't need like high quality Q-tips for that. I'm just dousing them in nail polish remover. I don't need like brand name Q-tips for that process, you know, and I'm just, that's just one specific example.
The next tip is to use up what you already have, even if it's not your favorite product. And, you know, I think about this with shampoo. You know, going back to how we started, I found that we had shampoo bottles all over the place. And then, you know, we stopped liking the scent or we wanted something slightly different. And then we had all these partially used shampoo bottles all over the house. And I think people can relate to that with all types of different products. But make sure that you are going through, search your house, find the shampoo and the toothpaste and the liquid soap and start using all of that stuff up before you go and buy more.
Yeah. I think if I were to like never buy anything again, I could go for years with what's sitting in my house right now.
Yeah.
And it's not always my favorite thing. Like I've maybe found a new product, but like I've been using a bunch of old toothpaste things that I have. Like one's like a Tom's brand and some other like Dr. Bonner's I got in some auction basket. And it's like, I don't love it. I have sensitive teeth, but I've been doing like every other one, like I'll use my Sensodyne every other toothbrushing, you know, and I'm working in to get rid of all these old toothpaste because otherwise what am I going to do? Throw them away. And that's super wasteful. There's no donation I can make with like a, you know, half used roll of toothpaste. And when I can pawn it off on my kids, I do and will also. That's another strategy is if you have some old products and your kids will use them, that's great too. Another tip, toothpaste is actually one of my favorite examples for this tip. Is use less of the product each time you use it. So most people use more than they have to when they're using products. So when they think about how much shampoo you put in your hand, think about a toothpaste is a good one. I've had multiple dentists tell me that like most people, like when they show the ads with toothpaste and they like show a big kind of roll of toothpaste on your toothbrush, it's way more toothpaste than you need. And it's actually better for your teeth to use less toothpaste. Like having a large volume of toothpaste, I can't remember what, but there was some dentist was explaining to me. He was like, you only need a tiny bit of toothpaste. And when you think about something like that, think about, you know, a tube of Sensodyne right now costs like $7, like really expensive. And if I use, you know, 25% as much, like I'm saving 20, I mean, I'm saving 75%, right? I'm getting 75% more out of my toothpaste. That toothpaste is going to last me that much longer. And so it might seem like a little thing, but thinking, just being thoughtful about the volume of the quantity, and think about, like, you know, face cream and other things, like how much of it you really need, especially with some kind of, you know, more expensive products where you just don't need, like a dab will do it, you know?
And to continue on our toothpaste examples, one of the things, Maggie, you talk about all the time is how you cut open toothpaste containers and start, you know, scraping out these things. And so make sure that you are using up all of the product before you recycle. And this is a little bit different than going through and finding items in your house and making sure that you're using them. This is really squeezing out every single drop of material, whether it's liquid hand soap or toothpaste or shampoo or cleaning supplies. You know, tilt the thing upside down, let it drain out, make sure that you are getting the most out of it. Otherwise, you're just wasting it. And then be sure to recycle the materials afterwards.
Yeah, I just cut open a travel thing of toothpaste, like the tiny little ones you get at the dentist. And I got another week out of that thing, like week of brushing my teeth out of it. It's just, and then when I cut up with a big one, I get like another month out of it. It's crazy. Okay. Another tip, consider what stores you are buying things from. There are certain things that are incredibly expensive at certain types of stores. So just pay attention. So Walgreens, for example, it's incredibly expensive for certain items. It also has an awesome store brand. So I like their multivitamins. They have like one of the few multivitamins with a full serving of iron in it. And their store brand multivitamin, awesome, better deal than I can get elsewhere. But there's a bunch of other products that are way overpriced at Walgreens and they're cheaper at Target. A lot of people buy toiletries at the grocery store. It's not always a good deal. It's often usually not the best deal. And so if you're buying more expensive products in particular, just be cognizant of where you're buying them from and like look around. So there's apps like, I really like Flip. It's an app that lets you load in like your favorite stores and look at their weekly like circulars, and you can see like when things are on sale and you can check the prices of things. And it's really helpful. Or now all the prices of everything is like in every app. So you can open the Kroger app, open the Target app. I don't know if Walgreens lets you do this, but check and see the prices of what your deodorant costs at, you know, Target versus Kroger, and make your decisions and just kind of know that like, oh, that's where I get, you know, that's where I get these products because that's where they are the best deal. And sometimes Sam's Club and Costco can have a good price on things. Doesn't always. Sometimes you think you're getting a good price because you're buying it in bulk, but like do the math because it is not always a better price. Another one, we've talked about minimalism. You know, we've talked about Mike not using shampoo. But just another reminder of, do you really need the thing at all, right? And I think sometimes a lot of products are created to fix symptoms and to kind of mask a symptom, but not actually fix it. And so I'll give you an example. I used to get headaches a lot and I would always take Excedrin tension headache and it worked like magic. And it was pretty expensive. Not really great for me to be taking on a regular basis. And I started to actually look into why I was getting headaches so often. And I think I talked to a doctor about it. They mentioned caffeine. I was like, you know what? I'm going to like try eliminating caffeine and see what happens. I eliminated caffeine about 10 years ago. It was crappy for a couple weeks. Like I literally felt like I was going through detox. My headaches magically went away. Like I never get a headache anymore. So they were related to caffeine. That was kind of the theory. And so it's like, I could keep taking medicine to deal with these different symptoms, or I could look at what the root cause is and try to actually fix that issue in my life. So I think the point is just really consider if you actually need something. A different example that's, you know, not related to, you know, looking at different kind of root causes is just like Kleenex. Do you buy Kleenex, Mike?
Yeah.
It's expensive. Think about the price of it versus toilet paper. 99% of the time when I'm sick, I just use toilet paper. I keep a roll of toilet paper near me and I use that to blow my nose. I don't, you know, my kids will ask for a Kleenex and I'm like, walk in the bathroom, there's toilet paper in there. It's just as soft. It's, you know, we have nice toilet paper. It's nice and, you know, feels nice rubbing it against your nose. But think about it. I mean, like, yes, I will buy Kleenex sometimes to put in like a guest room or something like that. But like, you don't really need to buy a product like Kleenex, right? And so just really think about like if you truly need it or not.
The next tip, and I think this might be a little controversial, is vitamins. Now, I'm not a doctor, clearly. Every study that is not funded by a supplement company says that vitamins and supplements don't do very much, if anything. And the way that I understand it, again, not a doctor, is that food is absorbed differently depending on what it's being carried in. So if you drink apple juice, it is absorbed quickly as sugar and you have an insulin spike. But if you eat an apple because of the fiber, it is absorbed differently into your body and then the nutrients actually have some benefit. And I think it's the same with supplements. Like if you take vitamin C, it is not as efficient or does anything compared to taking vitamin C within food. And so if you have some vitamin that you feel very strongly about, like you can continue taking it. But I would think that having a whole array of vitamins is not as good as simply just changing your diet. So Maggie, to your point about work on the root cause, not the symptom, work on getting more nutrients and vitamins, not supplementing it with pills.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And it's funny, Greg and I often get into debates about like vitamins and supplements, but like, you know, friendly banter. But I will say, regardless of where you're going to net out on that, there are now so many companies, back to the marketing thing, there's all these like vitamin companies that market like, you know, your exact makeup of, you put in your info, they send you a little pouch that you take every day. The markup is like insane versus if you just go, like, I do take a daily multivitamin from the Walgreens brand. It mainly take it because I'm vegan and it has iron and some other things that I'm not going to get through certain foods I don't eat. It's, you know, a 20th of the cost of these like marketed companies where someone's going to send me a really fancy, you know, perfectly formulated vitamin packet every month when I could get 90% of the benefit, probably 100% of the benefit through my like, you know, store brand multivitamin. Mm-hmm. This would have been a good topic to ask Deandra from That Science Couple about. I don't think we really dug into her view on vitamins and supplements, but
we'll have to have her back on then.
Yeah, we'll have to follow up on that. Okay, speaking of Walgreens vitamins, which I've mentioned a few times, another big tip is buy generic and store brand items. So the ingredients in these products are often identical. They're often made by the same manufacturer, like same factory, same company will make a store brand version and then they'll make a like Pantene Pro-V version. So sometimes, again, sometimes the products are completely identical. Sometimes they're not, but they're just as good a quality, right? I've been like a big fan of Cottonelle toilet paper for a very long time. And we recently were out and we were like, it was a long story, but we happened to be going to Sam's. And I was just like telling Greg, I was like, just buy something like quick to get us by for like a couple weeks before we go to another store that sells Cottonelle. And he bought the like nicer version of the store brand at Sam's, like not the cheapest one. And he like came home with it and I used it and I was like, this is great. And it's like half the price. Mm-hmm. And so I am now, and we're like retired now. And I was like, I'm not going to be able to do Cottonelle.
So maybe don't need your bougie toilet paper anymore? Yeah,
maybe if I get a job again someday, I can go back to Cottonelle. But for now, and honestly, I mean, I'm joking. Like I could still afford Cottonelle. Why? It's not like it, you know, I always like the way it looked with the ridges and it is nice toilet paper, but the Sam's Club store brand was like just as nice. It's a little bit different. I just had to get used to something different without the ridges in it, you know, mm-hmm. Like who cares? Nobody cares. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. You want to know what nobody really cares about? What kind of toilet paper anybody uses. Definitely. You think anyone's like, what? You use the store brand toilet paper?
I will not be seen
with you. I will never come to a dinner party at your house again.
The next piece of advice is to refill products with generic items. And so if you buy some brand name soap dispenser, you can just refill it with generic soap. You don't need to go buy a new dispenser or go buy that particular brand of material to go fill it in.
Yeah, like speaking of my joke about I'll never come to a dinner party at your house again, I will admit I kind of care about like the soap container in my guest bathroom when someone's over. Like I just, not even when someone's over, I aesthetically like certain containers of soap, like the brand of how it looks and the shape of certain, I know it's a lot. You're looking at me like I'm crazy. I like certain like hand soap containers and I just don't like others. I don't like the shapes of some. And I don't even know where to. My point.
I'm not sure where
my
you're
point
going
is.
With this.
So I like the certain containers, and like I have certain soap containers that I like. I will sometimes refill them with like an Aldi antibacterial soap. It's like 20% the cost of me putting Meijer's brand soap in it every time. And it depends, right? There's some times when I, you know. There's times that I, you know, find a good deal on something and I might have something else. But like I think it's just a great tip of like, if there's aesthetically something you're going for, you can still keep the aesthetics and have something a little bit less expensive on the inside.
And a little bonus tip on soap. If you like foaming soap, which we use in my house because it motivates my kids to wash their hands because they like it. You can make your own by taking liquid soap and mixing it 50-50 by volume with water. And then you're not paying for the water when you go buy foaming soap material.
Does that really work? I've heard that. Does it really work?
We've been doing it for years. Should try it. You're welcome. I save you some money.
Oh, pretty cool. Okay. Another good tip is, you know, back to the like fancy marketing stuff we were talking about earlier. There are a lot of like kind of tried and true classic brands, particularly in the toiletry space, that make good, high quality products at a very fair and reasonable price. And then there are others that come in and have like products that aren't even as good and that are just overly marketed with like commercials about hyaluronic acid and all this other stuff. And so I'll give you an example of one of my favorite is CeraVe. Are you familiar with that brand, Mike?
Never heard of it.
You can go Google it. You might like recognize brand. You'll now notice it in like every store you go into. So it has been around for a really long time. It's what every dermatologist recommends. It's not overly marketed. It's just a good, high quality product at a fair price. It is not the cheapest face lotion you'll find, but it is a very reasonable price and you get what you pay for with it. And you could look at, you know, tons of other kind of overly marketed, overpriced lotions, and CeraVe is a better product. I'm not saying than all, but it is a better product than many of those.
We're not sponsored by CeraVe, are we?
We are not sponsored.
We're not sponsored by anybody, Maggie.
We're not sponsored. It's easy to remember who our sponsors are because there are none. Okay. We're also not sponsored by any shampoo companies. We would be like the worst podcast to sponsor if you were a shampoo company.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to sponsor us because we just bash all products indiscriminately.
Look, we talked about minimizing things. I don't wear makeup. I never have. It just is not something I like or ever got into. And I'll be honest, it saves me, you know, tons of money as a result. So I'm not going to, you know, be the expert on ways to save money with makeup. My biggest thing is like, just don't wear it or keep it super minimalist and use all the same, you know, points we've talked about here around, you know, what brands you're paying for, more generic items and just like, you know, quality over quantity. And just minimizing things, right? But really think about like how much you're spending on makeup and if it matters that much to you. And if it is, you know, if it's values based, then that's great. Keep doing it. But it's a big category. I think is worth taking a moment and kind of stopping and thinking about each person personally and if it matters for you.
The next tip is to make your own products. I make my own bar soap, which is great fun. Maggie, you and I both make our own household cleaning supplies. And this is another like racket because there's all these specialty, you know, like white tile cleaning and, you know, dark grout tile cleaning. You know, it's like, it's all nonsense. It's all kind of the basic set of ingredients. And, you know, we've started using kind of a mixture of baking soda, vinegar, lemon juice, and water. And that cleans like everything. And so we mix it up, put it in spray bottles, we clean everything. It's also much easier on your your surfaces, and it's not toxic.
Yeah, it's better for your wallet, better for the environment. And yeah, it's like a few, like vinegar and baking soda and water are like the main ingredients you need. And like sometimes a couple other things. And I save money when you make soap, so keep it up, Mike.
You're very welcome. It's therapeutic for me.
You know, another one is we don't talk a lot about this multi-level marketing schemes. And I know The Price of Avocado Toast did like a whole multi-part series on it, which I loved. But don't get sucked into MLM product schemes. A lot of them are focused in the personal care category, right? There's, what's it, Young Living?
Never heard of it.
I don't know. I'm not even going to, you know, I'm not even going to name them. But there's like lots of them focused in this category in particular with beauty products, I would say. And home care and kind of personal essentials and stuff like that. They're often higher priced. The quality is usually not any better. And it's an MLM, you know, it's a pyramid scheme. So I don't recommend you choose to buy any of your personal care items through these companies. I don't personally recommend it, I'll say.
Next up, when you do decide to go shopping and you know what you're going to get, make sure you're using coupons and looking for things on sale. But going back to one of our previous points about, you know, like where you shop for things, I think if you do some cost comparisons, even if something is on sale, like buy one, get one free at CVS is still more expensive than getting it at Aldi at regular price or at Walmart at regular price. And so definitely look for things on sale at the places where you have determined them to be the best price. Don't just go for a sale because it might not save you much money.
Yeah, that Flip app I mentioned earlier, which we'll put a link in the show notes to, is also great for looking at sales. You can actually search for products. So back when I did use Cottonelle toilet paper, sometimes when I was running low, I would go search and search in Cottonelle and see where it was on sale at the time. Be like, okay, that's where I'm going to go get some Cottonelle from. Now I just go to Sam's. It's much easier. Okay, our last and final tip, which I think, you know, encompasses a lot of themes we've talked about throughout this whole episode, is to just take care of yourself naturally. And when you do that, you need less of all of these products, right? So if you are exercising, eating healthy, getting enough sleep, perhaps meditating, and doing other things to care for yourself in what I would call natural ways, you will need less personal care items. You will need less medicine. You will need less vitamins and supplements, like we were talking about earlier. And so there's just, you know, I think it's just a good way to wrap this up, which is to remind everyone to take care of yourself in the right ways, and you don't need as much of all of this stuff.
All right, Maggie, let's hit them with our top three takeaways.
Okay. Number one, be more thoughtful about your decisions, your spending decisions in this category. It will help your wallet and it will help the environment.
Number two, you probably only need a fraction of the things you are normally buying out of habit.
Number three, test and learn. Like we talked about at the very beginning, you can stop using some products that you might use now for a short time. Use less of them. See what happens when you stop using it altogether. And you might learn something.
All right, this was fun. I am going to continue not using shampoo and conditioner. I don't think I'm ever going to go back, Maggie.
Yeah, I'm excited for you. I don't think I'm going to get there, but I feel good about the volume of products I use. I'm actually, we didn't talk about this, but maybe sometime I'll do a post about this around when this episode airs. But my like travel game with my toiletries is like really tight, like small. Like I just have this like, I'm really good at traveling with, I have a very small toiletry bag. I fit everything I need in it.
How small?
It's about this big.
For people. So would you say it is the size of like one of those little business class amenity kit bags?
Kind of. Yes.
That is what I use for my toiletry bag.
Yeah. I'm not surprised by you. You're not using shampoo. I also, even when I travel, like I don't even travel with shampoo because like a hotel is going to have, wherever I'm staying usually has it. And I'm willing to use whatever while I'm traveling. I forgot the point I was going to make. Oh, Greg's toiletry bag is like twice as big as mine.
Greg.
Craig. Oh, Craig. Craig and his shampooing, his hair shampooing. Seriously. You know, crazy guy. Okay.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. If you've been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, oh, I got this. If you have any thoughts or questions, we always love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370, or you can hit us up on Instagram.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye.
Bye.